Everybody Can, a conversation about volunteers and volunteer opportunities in Jefferson and Clallam counties. I'm your host, Missy Nielsen, career counselor and committed community volunteer. Our show is inspired by the words and spirit of Dr. Martin Luther King. Everybody can be great because everybody can serve. We bring you information about the people who volunteer, serve on boards, donate, and sometimes just show up to help build what King called a beloved community. And today, we're on a topic that is so meaty, we've got two episodes assigned to it. We're fortunate to have Chief Brett Black's career began in Marin County Skywalker Ranch Fire Department in 1997. He also worked at the Clovis Fire Department in Fresno County and rose through the ranks from firefighter to battalion chief, and most recently served as the fire chief in Piedmont, California. We're so fortunate Chief Black came to Port Townsend as an empty nester and also with the hopes of finishing his firefighting career the way he started it, working hand in hand with both volunteers and professionals. Boy, does that just speak to my soul. Welcome to our program, Chief.
Thank you. I really appreciate this opportunity.
Well, did I get your bio right? You were in Marin and then Clovis. This is all California, correct?
Yeah, my wife and I were a team. So we started our relationship and our lives in Marin together in the late 90s, and left family and friends when a great opportunity in Clovis was at our taking, and then had a great career there for almost 20 years, was able to participate in the Master Mutual Aid process, which means in California we have a saying that every firefighter in California is a wildland firefighter. I was able to travel throughout the state for some pretty significant wildfire activities and help train other people as well as a strike team leader, which basically means you're camping with fire trucks in the middle of a disaster. So it was a very unique experience.
Yeah, I can only imagine what a remarkable way to, really dive into that skill. Now, let's talk about your role here in East Jefferson. You are the fire chief of the East Jefferson Fire Rescue, and you are serving in a district that's a little different than their last district, I could imagine. Piedmont was more city-like, and here you are in Jefferson County.
Yeah, those are some good observations. Yeah, so I'll start with my role here as the fire chief in what we call East Jefferson Fire Rescue District 1. There are five districts in our county. And what a lot of people don't know is we are not a county fire department, and we are not a city fire department, but we service areas in both. So the Port Townsend residents are served by our fire district, and then most of the unincorporated areas such as Port Hadlock, Maristona Island, and others are also served by us. So, yeah, it's kind of fascinating working for a district. And we have our own board of commissioners as well.
In a larger cities organization, five district is uncommon?
Yeah, fire districts are actually not obvious to the general public. Mm-hmm. I still get a lot of questions here and in my previous life in California about fire districts. But they are fairly common, and it really has to do with the local demographics and community deciding how they want to best be served by their fire department or fire district. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes it makes a lot of sense to consolidate administrative duties and operational functions for economic reasons and efficient deployment. So some of the previous iterations of our fire district actually were combinations of existing smaller districts such as Chimicum and Big George and others. They originally were separate and among themselves had their own governing bodies. So when we consolidated over several iterations and then eventually with the city of Port Townsend, That's how we existed to the geometry, if you will, on a map of the boundaries of District 1 today. And that exists in California as well. There are a number of fire districts throughout California and the United States.
How many people are you serving in this district, and what is the square mileage for your, is it, you could give me one district or all five, if you will.
So I wouldn't know all of the details of the other districts. Our district has approximately 20,000 in it, depending on, you know, the population from tourism, you know, which is another challenge because our population changes a lot in the summer, right?
And right.
So meeting those demands is also kind of an interesting paradigm. In fact, sometimes we add additional staffing to meet those demands. So, population is a little bit nebulous in that it's not a fixed number. It is a benchmark to have kind of your baseline staffing, but we do do some special things for special events.
You so the characteristics for Jefferson County that you find most unique to share with our listeners, what would you say are most unknown or uncommon for folks?
Yeah, I would say the things that are really unique about that I found unique about the District 1 East Jefferson Fire District was what we in the fire service term as all risk or all hazard. It's pretty unusual to have a fire district with all the different elements in its own boundaries of hazards, such as hazardous materials, confined space, water front rescue type situations, a structure fire, wildfire, an airport. I've certainly worked for jurisdictions and have friends in jurisdictions that have some of those, but this is pretty unique from a firefighter, even fire chief perspective. So that was one of the things that kind of piqued my interest, if you will, even to coming here, is for a small relatively small community, we have all of those challenges.
Wow.
So it makes deployment interesting.
Yeah, you have a lot of, you also have a lot of different equipment needs. That sounds like you guys are spread pretty thin, you know. How many are in staff for District 1? Can you tell us a little bit about the folks that are employed there?
Yeah, we have a total of 35 people on the streets, but those aren't all on duty at once. So minimum staffing, or I would say ideal staffing, is around 10 to 12 personnel per day. And then we have some administrative staff, such as, you know, that work in the office. And then we have assistant chiefs that aren't counted in there as well. But, you know, a dozen or less personnel on duty every day to handle all of the 911 emergencies that we deal with.
When you and I had a chance to speak before this interview, and you were talking about the survey and rating bureau, I thought that was fascinating. I wonder how many folks really know how these kind of geographic challenges and the nature of the fires and the number of personnel impacts our community. And that rating bureau we talked about was really interesting to understand kind of the impact of those dynamics. Could you speak about that a little bit in terms of, you know, regional standards and what is best?
So the rating bureau is the Washington State Rating Bureau, WSRB, affectionately termed among the firefighters. And there's four core elements to that. And the four elements are our fire marshal / fire prevention activities, which we have a fire marshal, and we have a very proactive fire inspection program where we come around to businesses and even residents and help them be safer in their home and business practices. And there are some mandates that they're required to follow, such as not blocking exits, extinguishers that are, I'm sure those are pretty obvious and common to your listeners. And then the next criteria is our operations, how we deploy and how we're staffed, our capabilities, our training records. We have a very robust training mandate that we have to meet. So those are all challenges that we face. And then the last two elements are our 911 or dispatch communications center, which East Jefferson does not control. That is a separate entity in the county that does all of the fire districts and law enforcement and a couple mm-hmm. other agencies as well. That's referred to as JEFCOM. And then the final part of the four levels of assessment is the water system or water supply. Mm. And there's only one small part of the water supply that we control related to water tenders or water trucks. But the main part of the assessment for water supply is the, you know, it's the fire hydrants, the water system behind the fire hydrants. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have fire hydrants, your rating goes up. Level 10 is the highest. Level one is the lowest, and your insurance rates correlate to how well your where you live meets all of the criteria I just explained. So you could be a 5 if you're in Port Townsend or somewhere else with fire hydrants and a fire station that's close. Mm-hmm. But you could be a 9 or a little bit higher than a 9 if you live in a remote community without a fire hydrant system. So that is fairly common in a lot of fire jurisdictions where you don't just have one, you know, criteria or one grade. They vary throughout the district.
Let's pick this topic up after our station ID, because there's another question I have on that topic, Chief. If you're just joining us, this is Missy Nielsen of Everybody Can, and you are listening to KPGZ 91.9. We have today with us Chief Brett Black from the East Jefferson Fire Rescue District 1. We're talking about assessments, and we're talking about fire readiness, and we're talking about the services and unique aspects of our county in terms of fire. This is a two-part episode, so if you want to check it out, it'll be on our website in the archived episode area. So when we think about the Washington Survey Rating Bureau, we're also thinking about response times, and you had an effort to point something out. I thought it was Maristone. Did you recently have a project that kind of helped us look at the importance of that as well?
Yes. We do have a pilot going on that we are just wrapping up out on Maristone Island, where we are putting together a volunteer-only basic life support ambulance out on the island for a fixed period of time, with the goal of reducing the arrival time of the first arriving ambulance. And throughout our district, that is one of our challenges in remote communities that don't have a career full-time staffed fire station, and we have three of those, and we have three career staffed fire stations. So on Maristone Island, without any volunteer presence that can respond in an ambulance, our career station in Chimicum typically gets there in approximately 14 minutes, which is a really long time when your loved one or yourself having a medical emergency. So what we're trying to establish with this pilot study is a volunteer-trained basic life support ambulance can reduce that time interval have a positive impact on the patient. And, you know, we have unfortunately not had a call yet out there during the times that we're doing the pilot. It's only during certain times of day on the weekends. But we're hoping that we can put together at least a couple data points to show that interval. So currently there is no living quarters on the island as well. So there is no fire station. There's a couple fire garages, and we can't position people in garages. We have to provide them with restrooms, cooking, you know, living facilities that are safe. So we're working with the Maristone Island Foundation, who's graciously, set aside funds to partner with us to build a small, modest facility for that reason, for the volunteers.
Gosh, you hit the ground running. We have services and capabilities we want to dive a little deeper on, and I'm so glad that this is a two-part episode.
We do control the ambulances. The hospitals do not. Quite. It is not obvious, so I don't expect you to...
Final words for this episode that we can tease out further on our follow-up. Do you have any final words there, Chief?
Yes. The what may not be obvious to your listeners is our career personnel are both firefighters and paramedics or EMTs. We provide exceptional first responder services throughout our district, and our personnel are highly trained. A fire academy is an extensive process that takes 4 to 6 months and approximately 200 to 300 hours of training just till you're entry level, you know, what we would call a recruit, and then a bunch of on-the-job training. And then an EMT takes approximately 150 to 200 hours, and then paramedic school is a whole year. And our people go to the Medic One program in Harborview to become paramedics. And a paramedic is the highest level of first responder you can get in Washington, and they're highly capable. We have a very high success rate. In fact, one of the highest resuscitation rates in the state is what we are able to provide our community. And from all three of our career stations and most of our volunteer stations, we have firefighting equipment and ambulances. The East Jefferson controls the ambulances in District 1.
That is pretty fantastic. And could we pick up this conversation a little further on our next episode? I'm thinking about the distinctions between a paramedic versus an EMT and some of the training you've got for folks that you're talking about.
Absolutely. That sounds great.
All right. Well, we are going to have a two-part episode on the topic of fire readiness and our fire department here in Port Townsend with Chief Brett Black from the East Jefferson Fire Rescue District 1. And I thank you for joining us today, Brett, and we'll have you back to tease out some more of this important information.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'm your host, Missy Nielsen. Our production coordinator and sound engineer is Taylor Clark, and the editing is in the masterful hands of Jared Dufresne. If you've missed part of this program or wish to hear previous ones, you can join us on the web at kptz.org. Now go out, get involved, and make sure to turn this on for the second part of our fire readiness program.